Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and it is very corrupt. Who can know it? Most people, when they talk, oh man, Yahweh knows what's in my heart. Yes, he does. But they think it's something different than what it is, because most people think they're better than what they are. Their human nature, they feel, is better than their neighbors. Yet, they look down on their neighbor. They take advantage of their neighbor. They steal from their neighbor. Even if it's a little bit of their ground, they want to move the neighbor's landmark. Oh, I need that extra foot of your property. See, that's human nature. It's not from Yahweh. Yahweh doesn't push people to do evil. See, that's Satan's job, and he's very good at it. And this is what human nature is all about. See? We want to develop a holy nature, because to be in that kingdom of Yahweh, to be the volunteers for Yahweh's kingdom, we have to show the world that we're different. We have a different nature about us. Verse 10, it says, I, Yahweh, search the mind. I try the heart, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. So there is fruit that comes from what we do, what we believe, how we walk before Almighty Yahweh. People can tell you and blow smoke at you all day long about what they're about. But if you look at the fruits, you will see what they're about. Because the fruits will tell. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3. The refining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold. But Yahweh tries the heart. Now, one of the things you have to understand is that human nature is not of Yahweh. See? It's not of Yahweh. In Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, and Elohim said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. In verse 27, and Elohim created man in his own image, and in the image of Elohim created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, you think Yahweh is going to create a being that's going to defy him? That soul nature is that be an enmity, an enemy against Yahweh. In verse 28 it says, and Elohim blessed them, and Elohim said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And Elohim said, behold, I have given you every herb-yielding seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of the tree yielding seed to you shall be for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heaven, and to everything that creeps upon the earth in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. And Elohim saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. So Yahweh didn't create man and say it was very good and have man rebel against them. Do you understand? Man was designed to do these things, to have dominion over the earth. Human nature, on the other hand, is destruction. It destroys. It's following its father, Satan the devil, because Satan is the destroyer of the earth and the things in it. He wants to pull you away from Yahweh. He doesn't want you walking with Yahweh. Adam and Eve were walking with Yahweh in the garden. Satan didn't like that. So he had to put himself in there. He had to slide in and cause a division, which he does each and every day, and he wants to do it in your life, doesn't he? Human nature is a part of his plan to destroy what Yahweh has created. Now, human nature is not very good. We can look at the world and see that, because man left to himself with all of the knowledge and the brilliance that's in man, there's destruction. Look at all of the violence in the world, all of the hunger. All of that should be able to be solved if people were willing to live by Yahweh's Spirit. See, because you want your brethren to survive. You want them to excel. You don't want them to be starving. You don't want them to have problems with one another. You care for them. The things that you do are not to bring them down, but to build them up. See, that's Yahweh's way. Where Satan's is just the opposite. He wants to tear things down. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, and we'll start in verse 1. Be you therefore imitators of Yahweh as beloved children, and walk in love, even as the Messiah also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to Yahweh for an odor of a sweet smell. Now, that was like a burnt offering. See, it was a burnt offering. When we come before Yahweh, we're commanded to come before him and give our offering, the sacrifices of our lips, the offerings that we give should be from our hearts, because it says here in Ephesians 5:1, be you imitators of Yahweh as beloved children. Children imitate their parents. A lot of times you'll see the little girls putting on their mother's high heels and their dresses, and they're playing, right? What are they doing? They're imitating their parents, their mother. And the young men the same as the father. They'll do the same thing. They'll try to put on a tack, maybe a tie, put their feet in his big shoes. I've seen little Rashad do that. Put on his daddy's shoe and try to walk in them. See, human nature, by definition, is not of Yahweh. It's human. It's carnal. Yahweh is spirit, and he wants each one of us to be a spiritual body. Continuing on in verse 3, of Ephesians 5, it says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be even named among you as become saints. Saints are those who have not only been baptized in Yahshua's name, they've accepted that walk. They're walking in Yahweh. See, in the Savior, in the image of Yahshua the Messiah. They're living that type of life. Yahshua did no sin. He didn't do anything to embarrass his father. He didn't do anything to take away from Yahweh. Everything he did was to build to that end. Now, think about how you're walking. Are you walking in human nature? Or are you walking in the Spirit? And this goes back to the thoughts that you think. The thoughts that Yahweh has, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. See, they're on a higher level because he's not thinking about anything negative. And that's where the devil comes in. He wants to bring you down to human nature. See? And all of those things that I read about human nature was in the heart of man. Yahshua says it's not what goes in the man that defiles the man, it's what comes out. See, of the heart. Because he knows that the heart is deceitfully wicked. Yet people say, oh no, I'm good. Yet their fruit, their actions is what shows truly what's in their heart. So you can talk all you want. Talk is cheap. Action is for real. See, if you say you love Yahweh, then you have to keep the commandments. He said, if you love me, and Yahshua put them to the test, if you love me, keep the commandments. Human nature is not going to keep the commandments of Yahweh. See? They're going to keep the commandments of their father, Satan the devil. And what did he say to the leaders that were trying to put him to death? You are of your father the devil, because you seek to kill me. One who has told you the truth. And that's what happens. When people are confronted with the truth, they have two options. They either accept it or they run away from it. See? And you'll hear people come with all these kinds of ideas or, you know, false doctrines is what they are, basically, trying to justify their position. See? Because the Bible is pretty solid as far as what it tells you you need to do. Yet human nature is on the other side. It's totally different. Remember I said when he was speaking to Nicodemus, he told Nicodemus, are you a teacher in Israel and you don't understand these things? Now, if the teachers didn't understand what Yahshua was speaking of, how could the regular people that they were supposed to be teaching, how would they understand it? It comes down to exactly where you want to be, who you emulate. See? We emulate Yahshua the Messiah. Now, there were many people during the days of the Messiah who saw him in action. They saw him cast out demons to heal people. They knew that he was the Messiah. Even the leadership says, we know that you come from above. But what happened? Because of their human nature, because of their principality, where they wanted to be seated, where they wanted to receive their glory, they would not accept Yahshua. See? They didn't want to get put out in the synagogue. You understand? Their position in the eyes of men was more important than their position in the eyes of Yahweh. And we can't be that way. And that's what human nature does for people. They want to impress other people. See? But that's not good enough with Yahweh. It's not good enough. You have to be willing to get rid of all that. Not worry about what the world cares about. The things that are important to the world aren't important to Yahweh. See? What's important to him is your salvation. Is you accepting Yahshua as your Savior? Is you walking with him in truth? Because the devil, on the other hand, he wants you to enjoy that human nature. He wants you to revel in it. Have a great time. See? Because he already knows he got you. He's not concerned about that. He's not concerned about you going on to be baptized, going on to be one of Yahweh's people if he's got you over here with human nature. Now, again, let's go a little further here in Ephesians chapter 5. It says, right in 3, I'm going to remind you, it says, but fornication and all uncleanness, all the things that violate the covenant, or covetousness. See, you know, you can have what your neighbor has. You just don't need to covet what they have. Yahweh can bless you with even more, even better, even greater. See? It says, let it not even be named among you as become saints. Those who are saints, the people of the world, it's going to be a part of them because that's human nature. That's what they desire. It says, nor filthiness, nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not befitting, but rather giving thanks. I know it's boring. No, it's not. See, because once you become at one with Yahweh, your life takes on a different meaning. See, the world, it's like water rolling off a duck's back. It doesn't affect the duck. And all that the world is trying to pull you down to, it won't affect you because you have become a saint of Yahweh. It says, but rather giving thanks. Verse 5, for this you know of a surety, that no fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of the Messiah and Yahweh. So the kingdom of Yahweh, they will not be named among you. They won't be there. And that's what Satan wants. He doesn't want you to be in the kingdom. And that's why he's after you to pull you away by human nature. He says in verse 6, let no man deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of Yahweh comes upon the sons of disobedience. And those are the ones who are violating the covenant. And they make it so. We're in a sabbatical year. We're doing things differently than everybody else in the world. Even the Jews, they are saying that they're keeping the sabbatical, but they've sold their property to the Gentiles without them knowing, so that they can keep it using that produce of the land. You understand? Either you're going to do it or you don't. So, again, human nature is one that will cause you to justify what you're doing. We're not trying to justify. We're trying to be faithful and keep the covenant. And that's what Yahweh's going to bless. He's going to bless you for being a volunteer for Yahweh's kingdom. That which grows of itself, you can have. Other than that, you've got to put it back if you want it. See? And I'm telling you this, and this is the spiritual reason for this happening, because we don't know if there's going to be a famine next year or the year after. So Yahweh's people have to be prepared. And this is why I'm telling you, put stuff back even more than you would normally. Yes, we can get certain things, and we'll still be able to eat certain things like fruit that, you know, grow on the trees. There are hydroponics you can get. You can buy hydroponics. But I'm going to tell you, if things continue the way they're going, it's going to be a big enough famine that food is going to be very, very expensive and very few people are going to be able to afford it. Okay? That are the common people. But Yahweh's people will be able to. It's like right now, I used to work for welfare. Okay? I'm a caseworker. We have in Harrisburg our senators, our representatives. These guys have excellent health care. okay? Everybody that was in my case, though, they had excellent health care because they had a medical card. They can go and get coverage. But those who were working, the working poor, and they made money. It wasn't that they didn't work. It's just that a lot of companies didn't offer health care with their jobs, or they gave very shoddy health care. They didn't cover much. You understand? Yet they took their money out their paycheck and says, oh, you can use this card, and they go to get coverage, and they are told, well, you got a $2,500 copay. What good is it? You know, you don't make that kind of money to be able to pay that to the doctors. So these people were in the middle. They were at a loss because they either had poor health care or none. And they were working. They were working just trying to feed themselves, pay their bills, and if they got one catastrophic illness or whatever, it would wipe out their savings. And you had to come to welfare. When you came to me, you could not have so much money in the bank because you had to use your money first, and I explained to them how you get around it, how you do it. See? Because what happens is this. I have one of my buddies I used to work with. They were Mennonites. Okay? His son was in a serious accident. $100,000 medical bill, Hershey Medical Center. And he came to me and he says, Robert, I need help. He says, I can pay $20,000. That's all I got. I can pay for my son's medical bill. And I told him, don't worry about it. I said, they have money aside. The hospital has donors that give money for these type of situations and incidents. His bill was a little over $100,000. Okay? So he had $20,000. He's willing to pay $20,000. And he had no qualms about it. He just couldn't pay $100. And see, he's outside the system. They don't pay in or whatever, you know, as far as that goes to get Medicaid or whatever. But I told him what we do. This is the state of Pennsylvania, and it's all throughout the country. If you come in and you need some medical coverage, we can do after the fact, and what they would do is isolate the income you had for that month, right? Not your future income, the income you had for that month that you created this bill. So he wasn't trying to get around paying it. So he told them, look, you know, I got this towards the bill. And they said, well, okay, that's fine. And after I sent them to the worker and he did whatever, he didn't have to pay anything beyond that. They took the other $80,000 and paid it from the donations from the hospital and from the medical assistance that covered their portion because it was a retro thing. They go back 90 days and they will cover a bill prior. Okay? So therefore, a lot of people who have decent income who get rocked with a big bill like that, and then this man was, you know, like pulling out his hair. He was worried about, you know, having to file bankruptcy or go broke with his business, and he didn't have to because when they isolated it, his portion actually was even less than the $20,000. So he rejoiced and was happy and thanked me left and right. But because they don't have that knowledge out there in the world, and they're not going to tell you how to do it, he was able to get saved with that bill. See? Now, back to our subject on human nature, most people aren't concerned about others unless they have Yahweh's spiritual nature. And yes, the Holy Spirit is important because this is your entrance. This is what you need to get into the kingdom, that down payment. Over in John chapter 3, I made reference to it several times. I made reference to this in John chapter 3. We'll start at verse 1. He says, now there was a man of the Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was one of the leaders. The same came to him by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from Elohim. For no one can do these signs that you do except Yahweh be with him. Elohim be with him. Yahshua answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, except one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of Yahweh. And see, this is our goal, brethren. This is what we're seeking. We want to be a part of that kingdom of Yahweh. Okay? As volunteers for the kingdom, we're willing to do what Yahweh asks us to do so that we can get there. And that's why I brought up the sabbatical year and how important it is for us to do our best in keeping every aspect of it. Nicodemus says to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? So he's looking at this totally literally. And be born. Yahshua answered, truly, truly, I say to you, except one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. So the kingdom of Yahweh means you have to be baptized and receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. And that gift is laid on of the hands of the elders. When they lay hands on you, that you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Very important for you to understand. Yahweh's elders, the Holy Spirit. Nicodemus was one of the rulers of Israel. Now, they had the law. They knew the Torah. They had all of the oracles, but they were operating on human nature. They weren't operating on the spiritual nature. See, when you look back through the scriptures and see all of those that it mentions, like Zechariah and his wife, they had the Holy Spirit. Simeon, who was looking for the consolation of Israel, who was supposed to be the father of Gamaliel, he had the Holy Spirit. Anna, the prophetess, had the Holy Spirit. Not everyone had the Holy Spirit. And especially when you look at the fruit of what they were doing, how they treated Yahshua, how they tried him at every turn, they were being used by the devil, they were being led by human nature. The only ones that you see here that didn't succumb to that nature was those like Joseph of Arimathea. There were several that had Yahweh's Holy Spirit, and it showed in their life. There was a difference between how they carried themselves and how the rest of the people carried themselves. When Yahshua told them in John 8, after they brought this woman to him, who they said was caught in the act of adultery, that means there was a man involved in it. And the way they presented it, it was more than one. And then he asked them, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. What did he write in the ground? I'm sure it was those scriptures that we talked about back in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy. The man and the woman both are supposed to be killed. But they only brought the woman. See? Their human nature was trying to get someone else killed. Look at the fruit of what people bring to you because of the human nature. If it's of Yahweh, the spiritual nature, you will see the fruits of that. And Yahshua had plenty of fruit. Until Peter totally repented, Yahweh, he was with Yahshua, right? Him and the other 11. They had received power to cast out demons when they went around after they were sent by Yahshua. But even after that, I mean, Yahshua told Peter, Satan wishes to sift you as wheat, but I pray for you. See? And he's praying for each, I mean, he's got each one of us to that point where we don't have to succumb to human nature and the devil. We can overcome the world and the fruit of our lives, how we treat one another, That love that we show one to another is very evident that Yahweh's Spirit is among us, is with us, those who have been baptized and received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those who have not been baptized, the Holy Spirit still is leading and guiding your life. Now, it's up to you whether you're going to go back to your human nature. And those fruits are going to be evident. They're going to show. And the reason I said that about the leadership of the Jews, because the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, and all of these different groups came to Yahshua trying him. And you're not going to try Yahshua if you're of the Spirit. You understand? They were being led by Satan the devil in human nature. Now, drop down to, he says in verse 6, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born anew. The wind blows where it will, and you hear the voice of it, but know not from where it comes or to where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Yahshua answered and said to him, are you a teacher in Israel and understand not these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know. We bear and bear witness of that which we have seen, and you receive not our witness. See, Yahshua performed these miracles before them. The common people, they received it. They understood. Not totally, but they understood. They followed Yahshua. It wasn't just for the food. See, they enjoyed hearing what he had to say, what he was teaching. Verse 12, if I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no one has ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven, meaning Yahshua the Messiah, even the Son of Man, who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes may have in him have eternal life. So he gave that example. Jacob chapter 4. Jacob chapter 4. In Jacob chapter 4, starting verse 1, it says, from where come wars? And from where come fightings among you? Come they not from here, even from your pleasures that war your members? You lust and have not. You kill and covet and cannot obtain. You fight the war, you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may spend it in your pleasure. You adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship of the world is enmity with Yahweh? It makes it an enemy against Yahweh. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks in vain? Does the Spirit which he made to dwell in us long to envy? But he gives more grace. Therefore the Scripture says, Yahweh resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Once Peter got to that point that he repented, remember, he denied Yahshua, right? Three times. He denied. And then Yahshua and John had him three times say, Simon, Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he says, yes, master. He says, more than these. Yes, master. And then he told him what to do. Feed my lamb. Feed my sheep. He gave him a directive. Peter made that transition from human nature to spiritual nature. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit there in Acts chapter 2. And even after that, he had some problems in a few areas where he fell. And Paul came and had to chastise him. And he was the leader of that organization until he had to flee and turn it over to Jacob. But Peter came full circle. And see, this is the thing. We have to overcome this human nature that we have. It wasn't the original plan, remember. Adam and Eve sinned. You know, a lot of people talk about original sin. And this is the original sin, Adam and Eve, so therefore all of the rest of us are cursed. Yahshua was not. He was born, and he did not succumb to sin or that stigma of sin. He did no sin. Even from a child. Now, there's another passage in here where, and I think it's in John 9, where it's talking about the man that was born blind. And they asked him, who sinned, the parent or the baby? Like the baby could sin, you know. And he said, neither. He said, but for the glory of Yahweh, this happened. So that Yahweh, through him, would, and they said that was the first time it ever happened that someone that was born blind received their sight. It was for that purpose, that miracle that Yahweh performed through Yahshua the Messiah. When we look at things and see what Yahweh has done in our lives, and I want you to understand as we go through the next couple of verses, it's important because our human nature has to take a back seat. We've got to get rid of it. See? When you get baptized, you receive that down payment of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't totally overwhelm you and make you perfect. But you can overcome Satan with that Holy Spirit because you have that power. And it just takes that little bit of the Holy Spirit to overcome. Now, how many of us allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives to defeat Satan every time he comes at us? Or do we succumb? People succumb. They do. That's why it says a righteous man will fall seven times and rise yet again. See, we know that Yahweh is faithful in all things. He gave us a Savior. They gave us an example of how we should live our lives so that we would overcome this human nature, so that we would be able to be rise and meet him in the air as first fruit, Vicarini. There's only 144,000 of them. Yet we know what the scripture teaches, that there will be some alive when Yahshua returns to rise and meet him in the air. They all aren't going to be dead. They all aren't going to be, even though those who precede us, those who have preceded in death will rise first. The scriptures teach that. Do we all agree? We believe that, right? Okay. Yet the Jehovah Witnesses say 144,000 have been filled long ago. Now if that was the case, why is it the kingdom here? You understand? And who is rising to meet him for the end of life? See, so when you hear, and a lot of these false doctrines are out there because these organizations are teaching them and they are indoctrinating the people, and the people accept what they say instead of proving them themselves in the Word. And this is what you have to do. You have to prove all things Hold fast to that which is good, which is this. You understand? And you use the Scripture along with the Scripture. They have to work hand in hand. The Word is infallible. Man is not. The Word is. So you have to find that medium where the Word is working with the Word. And not man's doctrine, because a lot of doctrines of men, and they have it twisted. And a lot of it because of their human nature. They believe, and I'll give you a great example of it. Two witnesses. How many people claim to be the two witnesses that are dead? Herbert W. Armstrong? One? I know some others. Jacob O'Meara has claimed to be one of the two witnesses. You understand? Now, I'm not saying he is or he isn't, because Yahweh can raise them up. And the witnesses care. But I believe that they are alive according to Revelation 11 at that time. And other people say, no, it's Eliyah and Moses. They're going to be resurrected and be the two witnesses. Eliyah and Moses. Okay? Eliyah because of 1 Kings 18, and Moses because he led the people out of Egypt. And they're going to be resurrected, and they're going to be 3.5 years in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount teaching this. But see, Eliyah didn't come back to be Eliyah in John the Baptist. John the Baptist was raised. So I believe that Yahweh will have two other who are alive. You know, that's my own. I'm not saying you have to accept it. But again, I don't believe they're going to be resurrected and then be able to be killed. Because these two witnesses are going to be killed at the end of their prophecy. All right? Human nature. And this is what Satan wants. He wants your human nature to take over your life. He wants you to do those things that are contrary to the Scriptures. I didn't finish. And Jacob, I lost my place. Go back. In Jacob 4, it says, verse 7, therefore be subject to Yahweh, brethren. But resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So all you have to do is resist that human nature. So Satan comes to you through that to get to you. Your spiritual nature has to be stronger than your human nature. Draw near to Yahweh, and he will draw near to you. And how do we draw near to Yahweh, brother? By keeping his commandments, by keeping the sabbatical year, by keeping the things that he's commanded us to keep, by walking in truth, being an example to the people who live around us, our neighbors. When they look at you, do they give glory to Yahweh? Or do they curse? You understand? What kind of example are we leading? You know, you could have been the worst person in the world, and you can go through all of the patriarchy, these people, and how they were murderers, they were thieves, they were liars. You know, they had a path. But they gave up that path in their human nature to serve Yahweh. Even Jonah at the end, he was like you know why Jonah was so broken up? You know why he didn't care if he died? Because he loved Israel. And he knew Yahweh was using these people to take Israel away. That's why he wanted Nineveh. See? He wanted the Assyrians because he was using the Assyrians as the rod of his anger. Yahweh is in control of all the nations, brethren. He can use whomever he will. All they have to do is repent. And what did he tell Jonah? He says, you cared for this gourd, which you didn't work for. Yet I have 120,000 persons that don't know their right hand from their left. Yet they repented when you preached to them and told them 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. They believed it. they repented. And see, this is where we are today. We have to get the world to that point where they're repenting of that human nature. And they're changing, they're seeking Yahweh. Because when we tell them the Eliyahu message, Yahweh is coming soon. Yahshua is returning. Now, we're not going to say 40 days or 40 years or 4 years. We're not going to put a date on it. You understand? All we're telling them is that Yahshua is coming soon. And you got to get rid of that human nature and be baptized in Yahshua's name and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit so that you can rise to meet Yahshua in the air when he returns. And if you make the grave your house before, you can still be resurrected to meet Yahshua in the air. Draw near to Yahweh and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Remember, I read Jeremiah 17:9, where he said the heart is deceitfully wicked. Well, he's telling you here to purify your heart. You got to have a change of heart. And you know what? With the human nature, you don't care about your neighbor. But with Yahweh's Holy Spirit, you do care about that other person. You do care, as Yahweh showed Jonah, about the Assyrians that don't know the right from their left. And see, it's us. He's raised up to show the difference between the clean and the unclean, the holy and the common. And that's why we have to be good examples, brethren. We can't go around doing things that violate Yahweh's covenant. We cannot allow our human nature to take lead in our lives. That old man has to die in that watery grave at baptism. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of Yahweh, and he shall exalt you. See, the human nature of this world are going to puff themselves up. They're going to be all here, and Yahweh's going to bring them down. He's going to bring them down. Speak not one against another, brother. That's key, and that's real important. You understand? That is so important because human nature wants you to talk about your brother behind their back. But Yahweh says, speak not one against another. He that speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. They're judging Yahweh. Yahweh is the creator. He's the one that gave that law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Only one is the lawgiver and judge. He who is able to save, and that's Yahshua the Messiah, and to destroy. But who are you who judges your neighbor? We can't do it. We can't do it. First John chapter 2. We're going to start in 12. First John chapter 2, verse 12. Talking about human nature, that's our topic for today, this Bible study, human nature. 1 John 2, verse 12, it says, I write to you little children because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And those who accept Yahshua, your sins are forgiven. But if you have not accepted Yahshua, your sins are still upon you. Your human nature. I write to you in verse 13, Father, because you know him who is from the beginning, and that's Yahshua the Messiah. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. You've overcome the devil. And the only way you overcome the devil is through Yahshua's shed blood. I have written to you, little children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of Yahweh remains in you. And you have overcome the evil one. How do we overcome the evil one, brother? Through our spiritual nature, not our human nature. He has control over the human nature. See? That's why Yahshua said, or Paul said, I'm sure inspired by Yahshua, that, you know, those who have wives are divided. Those who have husbands are divided. Because they care for the world as far as taking care of that individual. And that's okay. If you do it right, you can still have Yahweh first. And that's the key. A lot of people don't think they can do it right. And that's why you have, you know, I know the Catholic Church with their priests, with this vow of, you know, chastity, but what happened? So many of them violated that through sin. Because they couldn't maintain that. And yet, all they had to do is, you know, I resigned from my position, I'm going to get a wife. And, you know, they could have been, they still could be a minister in the Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran, Episcopal. You know, they could have joined any of those other ones, but because the Catholic Church wouldn't, you know, break that, they're not going to accept ministers who have wives. The scripture doesn't say, I mean, Paul says, can I, an elder or a minister, lead about a wife? He has the right to do so. He can have a family. He just has to have the Yahweh first. And see, human nature is going to cause you, oh no, my peace is first. You understand? I have to do, but you making that choice. You make the choice. And this is why Paul says, those, the virgin that chooses not to marry is going to have Yahweh first in her life. She's going to care for the things of Yahweh first. The spiritual nature over the human nature. Verse 15 of 1 John 2 says, love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. And that's what happens in the human nature. The human nature wants the world. They want the things of the world. That's what's important to them. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, again, this is like loving your father, your mother, your sister or brother. You love them less. It doesn't mean you don't love them. He's not saying you can't care for things of the world or people of the world. You understand? You just have to love them less than you love Yahweh. You love them less than you love Yahweh. Yahweh has to be first in your life. Everything else second. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, that's the first thing. See? That human nature and carnal nature wants. It is a lust of the flesh. They're concerned. That's why, you know, sex sells. You'll see the women in the bathing suits selling all kinds of products on the TV, which doesn't do a whole lot maybe for the women. But you know what? One of the things I found in trying to work with my son in this little business is that the majority of the people spending the money, it seems to be elderly men between the ages of 45 and up. They spend a lot of money. That's the target that they target in affiliate marketing, and they make a lot of money off that group. And that's why you see the advertisements of all of these naked women and or scantily clad women. They might not be naked, but, you know, because Facebook and Google, a lot of them are allowing you to put, yet I see them on there, you know, these scantily clothed women advertising all kinds of stuff. So But they spend a lot of money, and they do testing. They do these demographic testing, and when they run it with women, they all make the money. There are other things that make money with the women, like the weight loss stuff and some of the other stuff. But what I'm trying to tell you is the lust of the flesh in the eye. And this is what he says. After the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the vainglory of this life. It's his life. See, because if you are 100% in the spirit, you don't have to worry about that life because you have life in the kingdom. And that's where we're going, brethren. This is what the feast is about. This is the type of kingdom of Yahweh, and we have to be volunteers for Yahweh's kingdom so that the people that see us, that know us, know where we stand. And they're not going to break us down and say, you know what, you did this for this person, why don't you do it for me? You understand? Because if you drop your standards, if you break down for one, they're going to see it. They'll be on it. Whether it's a violation of the Sabbath or, oh, you came to, Sister so-and-so's Christmas dinner, why don't you come to mine? You understand? People will see that if you are not strong in Yahweh. And you've got to be 100%. And I'm not saying people won't slack or slide or sin. And that's why the scripture says the righteous man falls 7 times but rises yet again. People will fall if they allow the human nature to take over and to have power in their life. Verse 17, it says, and the world passes away and the lust of it, but he that does the will of Yahweh remains forever. That means they're going to be in the kingdom if they remain forever, because the kingdom is everlasting. And we know from Daniel that Yahshua is going to overcome the world and the saints that are along with them, those who are chosen. And they're going to be in the kingdom of Yahweh. We can't make an example or an exception as far as the word is concerned. We have to be strong in Yahweh in all things. In Mark chapter 16, in verse 9. And when he had been raised, early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Miriam Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. A lot of people don't believe it, but your human nature, you know, when people, before they come to Yahweh, they have this condition. See? And they have to have these demons cast out. And when you come to Yahweh, when the Holy Spirit grabs hold on you and you make your calling and election sure and says, hey, I need to be a part of this faith, and you get baptized, you receive a cleansing. You receive at the laying on of hands from the elders the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now that smallest amount of the Holy Spirit can overcome any of Satan's demons and Satan himself. Because after Yahshua was baptized, which we know he did it for all righteousness, see, what happened? The devil tried him. Even after he had hungered, he had fasted for 40 days, 40 nights. He was in a weakened physical state, but spiritually he was strong because he still had Yahweh first in his life. And that's where we have to be, brother. We have to have Yahweh first in our life, our human nature constantly being suppressed and totally until we become full spirit God. There's another scripture that talks about after the demon was cast out. And he goes around, can't find a place, but he goes back to his home and finds it garnished and swept and clean. Then he brings back seven more demons along with them, possess that person again, if they're succumbing to that human nature. See, if they haven't accepted the spiritual nature and made the changes necessary in their life. Our closing scripture is going to be Luke chapter 23. It's about our Savior. Luke chapter 23. The reason I'm reading this is because I want you to see the instances of human nature, how Satan the devil is operating. Verse 1, it says, and the whole company of them rose up and brought him before Pilate. The whole company of them. The demons. They began to accuse them. Who accuses the brethren? Satan the devil. They're accusing Yahshua, saying, we found this man perverting our nation. See, this is a political thing. It wasn't a spiritual thing. They had to make it political because Pilate was there because of the Romans. You understand? They had already brought him to the spiritual leaders, which was Caiaphas, and they then took him to the political leaders to have him put to death. So, you know, this is how they crafted it. They said, we found this man perverting our nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. See? Because you represent Caesar. You're there, you're Caesar's representative, Pilate. And saying that he himself is Messiah, the Messiah, a king. See, now he's opposing Caesar. And Pilate asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, you say. And Pilate said to the chief priests and the multitude, what? Let's put him to death. He's against Caesar. That's not what he said. He said, I find no fault in this man. But they were the more urgent. They were upset even more, saying he stirs up the people teaching throughout all Judea and beginning from Galilee even to this place. But when Pilate heard it, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. He didn't get out of it. He sent him over to Herod. And when he knew that he was of Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem in these days. You know why? Because it was the feast day. Remember? Passover. Now when Herod saw Yahshua, he was very glad, for he was of a long time desirous to see him, because he had heard concerning him, and he hoped to see some miracles done by him, because he had heard of all the miracles Yahshua had performed. And he questioned him in many words, and he answered him nothing. Yahshua didn't even respond. And the chief priests and the scribes stood vehemently accusing him. I mean, you know, they had this adjective. I mean, they just went at it. They were accusing him violently, vehemently. And we know the accuser of the brethren of Satan and death. And Herod, with the soldiers having despised him, mocked him, arrayed him in gorgeous apparel, sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day. But before, they were enemies. They were at enmity between themselves. But Yahshua brought them together. Think about it. In verse 13, and Pilate called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people and said to them, you brought to me this man as one that perverts the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, found no fault in this man. Excuse me. Touching those things of which you accused him. No, nor yet Herod. For he sent him back to us. And behold, nothing worthy of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise them and release them. But they cried out all together, saying, Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas, one for whom for a certain insurrection made in the city and for murder. So he was a murderer and an insurrectionist. Yet they wanted him over Yahshua. That's why Barabbas was cast into prison. Verse 20, and Pilate spoke to them again, desiring to release Yahshua. But they shouted, saying, Impale! Impale him! And he said to them the third time, Why? What evil has this man done? I have found no cause of death in him. But Barabbas, we got caught. You understand? See? I will therefore chastise him and release him. But they were urgent with loud voices, asking that he might be impaled. And their voices prevailed. The people prevailed. Human nature prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that what they asked for should be done. And he released him for that insurrection and murder that had been cast into prison, whom they asked for, but Yahshua he delivered up to their will, to their human nature. He allowed Yahshua to be put to death, but we know that this was to fulfill the scripture, to fulfill all righteousness. Almighty Yahweh wants us, brethren, to rise above our human nature and to use that spiritual nature, that Holy Spirit that he's given us that have been baptized in Yahshua's name, to be the Eliyah of these last days, to go forth and complete the Great Commission. Yahshua gave us a commission and said, Go you into all the world, teach, preach, baptize in my name. And we have to do this and say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahshua, in the name of Yahweh, so that Yahshua can return. And until this is done, brethren, our job is not done. We have to go out to the byways throughout the whole earth. This is why we go to Africa, to other places. This is what the purpose is. Yahshua gave us this commission to go forth and to teach this to all mankind. And then shall the end come. But we have to overcome human nature through Yahweh's Holy Spirit and let the world know that they can as well. May Almighty Yahweh bless you at this time. Before I close, I want to ask, is there any question that we have at this time? Let me unmute. Are there any questions? I don't know if I remember that. If you don't have them now, write them down, and we can deal with them on the next Bible study. I'm sure there are questions out there. All right, I'll ask Rashad if you'd come forth and close with a word of prayer. But yes, okay. We have a group meeting this afternoon at
conference muted.
At 2:30. There is going to be, if you have, you know what, and this is the other thing, about the question. A lot of the questions you might have, there's going to be a session. My wife and Dorothy will entertain questions from, especially, it doesn't just have to be from the lady. It can be from the men as well. Things sabbatical related or other, because we've got a lot of new people that are joining us. And I know you've got a lot of questions, and I've put a lot of you off because I wasn't able to answer them all at the times that you wanted them, that you were asking, like, you know, during the service or, you know, that we only have so much time in the Bible study. Now, this evening, while we have baptism counseling for those that are interested in baptism, I had a couple people ask about it, and I'll have this even open. Is this the time you want to do it, or? If anybody has questions that they want to ask, because like I said, there's nothing tonight except, tonight is game night. You eat first, and like I said, I'll see the baptism counseling and they have game night. But, I mean, the people will be here, but if you have some questions, you know, Christina or Dorothy, you have volunteered to answer some questions. And we will have a children's Bible study, as well as if we have people to be baptized, baptism service in the morning. If not, we'll just have a regular service. But then tomorrow afternoon is open for the high day, and then in the evening we have a Bible study for the last great day. It's that's the next Bible study. So if you have other questions you need for me, then you bring them for that Bible study. Okay? And then last great day, Friday morning, we have worship services at 11. And then we'll have lunch together. Everybody bring lunch. We'll do it communally, you know, and we'll eat together. And then we'll have another worship service after, and it'll probably be 3:30 instead of 2:30 because I'm sure the morning service is really long. And then it's open that evening, I believe. Are you still having teen talk? We'll have teen talk that evening. For those teenagers that have questions for Mrs. Dorothy, Sister Dorothy. Okay, and then Sabbath morning, which is the last day, even though the last great day is the day before, but we're going to continue. It's a double Sabbath. So we'll have services and Bible study that morning for the children. And then in the afternoon, a Bible reading. And then we'll get together at the end to close the feast out with a, you know, song service and anointing service for those that need to be anointed. Any questions? That's up to you as far as that goes, because the rest of the people don't have to be around. Friday evening is open. Okay, those who are in the women's Bible study, then Friday evening there'll be a meeting. I don't know, before or after Kingsley? All right, 6:30. Any questions about what we just said? Or?
Conference muted.
offerings, Val. Almighty God, we come before you today. We thank you so much for allowing us the opportunity to come before you so we might be able to learn your word and to continue to study your word, Almighty Yahweh, so we continue to live by your laws and commandments and walk in your will and your way. And we graciously thank you for all that you have done and all the miracles and blessings that you perform in our life. And we ask that you just watch over all the brethren who are trying to do right by your will and your way, Almighty Yahweh. And we ask for those who are desperately seeking your hand that you allow them to get down on their knees because they aren't on their knees yet, Almighty Yahweh, and to seek you. And we love you so very much and so gracious for everything that you do. And we ask that you continue to bless our congregation and allow us to grow and to prosper. And we love you so very much and ask all these favors and blessings in your son, Yahshua Messiah's name. Hallelujah.
Now, the council, I think we're going to be meeting prior to the group meeting. Well, we can do it now if you want. That's fine. Yeah, I do too.
She's paying for it. She's paying for it.
Most of them